Good morning. Whoa. We have a new headset. So bear with me today. We've been doing a quite an extensive study of Joseph from the Old Testament. And today was going to be Joseph part 9, and it was going to be wrapped up. That was my intention. That was my plan. And God said, no. He woke me up, and as any of you have been here for any amount of time, when I wake up at 3 o'clock exactly, I know God wants to talk. Why he has to wait until 3 o'clock in the morning, I have no idea. Actually, yes, I do, because I'm a lot more intent in listening at 3 o'clock in the morning than I am at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Especially if I'm fishing. But the other day, I woke up at 3:14. Now, usually when I wake up and it's not 3 o'clock, I just roll over and go back to sleep. And for some reason this time, I thought, well, it's not 3 o'clock, so it's not God. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe it is him. And so I just started to pray, Lord, is there something that you want to say? And he downloaded a message. So I reached over, I grabbed my phone, I went into my sermon notes, and I dictated it as he was just kind of downloading it into my heart and my mind. And it's from the book of Revelation. And I've often said here, and I encourage people to read the book of Revelation. However, I tell them, you need to read Jeremiah, and you need to read Ezekiel, and you need to read Isaiah, and you need to read Daniel in order to understand Revelation. Do not just jump into Revelation and try to figure it out, because you'll just leave with your head spinning and a lot of goofy ideas. And so I got my notes late to Kim because God downloaded this to me on Wednesday, early Thursday morning. And so we're going to take a look here. And this message is called The Last Days. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had become corrupted in their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. How much worse was it then than it is now? In verse 17, he says, I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. So here God chooses a man named Noah, one that God says is righteous. And he reveals his plan of destruction to Noah. Matthew Henry had this to say, the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. It was with his servants, the prophets, by a spirit of revelation, informing them particularly of his purposes. It is with all believers by a spirit of wisdom and faith, enabling them to understand and apply the general declarations of the written word and the warnings there given. Whenever God was about to have an act of with his wrath or a judgment, he always sent a mouthpiece. He always sent a prophet. He always sent a messenger to warn the people that he was coming after. Because his ultimate goal is always repent and turn back to me. He always gives everyone an opportunity to turn to him before suffering his wrath. I truly believe in my heart that when people are dying and they go into a coma, I believe that is a moment where God is showing up and saying, are you going to accept me or are you going to reject me? I believe that with all my heart. I've been at the bedside of people who are dying and in comas. And I've seen those who are at peace. There's just a calmness there. And I have seen people wrestling, agitated, irritated, angry, in a coma. You see, I believe God gives everyone an opportunity. And not everyone says, yes, I will accept you. Some people go kicking and screaming into eternity. God does not send anyone to hell. People choose to go there themselves by rejecting him. I had a thank you for praying for my mom. She's actually getting stronger at 94 years old with a broken hip and a broken shoulder. But I had a talk with her. I asked her, I says, Mom, where are you going to go when you leave this earth? And she tells, well, I'm going to be cremated. I said, Mom, it's not really what I'm getting at here. And she looked at me with kind of a funny look on her face. I says, Mom, where are you going to go when you die? She says, I'm just going to cease to exist. And I went, you seriously believe that? And she goes, yes. I said, Mom, there is an eternity. One is good and one ain't so good. And she goes, I don't believe in heaven and hell. My mom was raised Catholic. And do not get me wrong. I do believe that there are Catholics who are Christians, who are believers in Jesus Christ. But I also believe that the Catholic Church and their doctrines have ruined a lot of people's faith. I was raised a Catholic, 8 years of parochial school, altar boy, the whole bit. And I am grateful. I went to a parochial school for 8 years. I am grateful for the education that I got at that parochial school. I got a good basis on which to build my faith. However, I had to unlearn a lot of things that were just simply not biblical, not good doctrine. And so I'm talking with my mom and I'm saying, you know, Mom, let's just look at it this way. If you're right that everyone simply ceases to exist, if you're right, then I will just simply cease to exist, and I was wrong. However, if I'm right and you're wrong, you're spending eternity in hell. And she just had a matter of fact, that's what you believe, whatever. So pray for my mom. That God, it's going to take a serious revelation from God. But there is a scripture in a group of scriptures in the Old Testament. And it's God talking to a prophet. And he says, if I give you a word, a warning, for someone to repent and turn back to me, and I give that warning to you, and you do not give that warning to that person, their blood is on your hands. But if I do give you a word, a warning for someone, and you do give it to them, you do deliver it to them, and they die in their sin, your hands are clean. We as Christians have an obligation to share our faith with people. And I had to do that with my mom. How she responds is out of my it's out of my hands. all we can do. I cannot save my mom. I can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible for any of us to save anyone. We are simply to sow seeds and water those seeds. Only God can make it grow. Amen? So, we are still receiving warnings today. There are warnings in the Old Testament. There are warnings in the New Testament. And there are warnings going on. I watch a lot of YouTube. And people kind of snicker. I refuse to watch mainstream media news. I just refuse. Because it's the same old garbage. No matter what side you're on, it doesn't matter. They're telling you how to think. Or what to think about it. So how about just give me the facts and let me decide how I think about it? But they don't do that. So I go onto YouTube and there's a lot of other content in there. And as you just kind of flip through, some things just catch my eye and I'll take a look at it. I came across this incredible video about Jamie Foxx. You know who Jamie Foxx is? He ended up, I don't know how long ago, but he ended up with a stroke, a brain bleed and a stroke. And he woke up 14 days later, I believe, and didn't know where he was or what had happened. And the nurse says, well, you had a stroke. He goes, nah, that's impossible. I didn't have a stroke. I'm Jamie Foxx. And she says, well, then try to get up out of your chair. And he did, and he fell on his face. And he had an encounter with God. And he is now proclaiming his faith in Jesus Christ. It's incredible. They have a whole a documentary on it on Netflix. I'd never heard of it. I had not heard this news. An incredible conversion of a very well-known person in Hollywood, and it's been swept under the rug because they don't want that kind of content to get out. So I go on and I look at these different things. And one of the things that kept popping up were warning. August 1st and 2nd of 2025 is going to be huge. Prophecy, fulfillment of all certain whatever, da 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 da. And it was five or six different people, pastors, mystics, and prophets. So I decided, well, I'm going to keep an eye and an ear out for this ground-shaking thing that's going to happen on August 1st and 2nd. Well, there was a volcano in Russia. But other than that, it's pretty much status quo. So, there are a lot of people out there who call themselves prophets. How do we know if they're a false prophet? Well, what's really convenient is God gave us something that we can use, a litmus test to see if they're actually a true prophet from God or they're a false prophet. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 to 22. He says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name, anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. How do we know? Because if someone prophesies something that does not come to pass, he's not from God. And we are to have nothing to do with them. And there are hundreds of prophets out there who are still proclaiming to be prophets and have missed the mark. And some people say, well, you know, he's been right 5 or 6 times. I don't care. A prophet has to bat 1,000. A prophet is never to be wrong. A true prophet of God will not be wrong because he's not acting on his own whims or to get money. He's hearing from God. And God bats 1,000. So if you're following some false fool, shame on you. Shame on you. This is not a warm, fuzzy message, by the way. I didn't know if you've picked up on that at all. So we're gonna go to 2 Peter here, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And this is Peter. Well, let's just go ahead and read it. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Verses 16 through 19. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that we came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. As eyewitnesses, they are not just telling us about what happened. They are telling us about what is also going to happen. These are, the New Testament is written by eyewitnesses or someone who is closely related to someone who saw everything happen. Luke was not an eyewitness, but he traveled with an apostle and wrote for him as he did it. So he's getting first-hand messages. They're eyewitnesses. Let's move on to 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." Jesus said these things are going to be near. These things are going to happen, and they're going to happen soon. And people in that day, as there are people in this day, because ever since I became a Christian, I've heard the day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord is near. Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour. So if you have some knothead telling you it's going to be on August 1st or August 2nd, 2025, they're wrong. They're saying that Jesus is a liar. There was a man. His name was Dana Coverstone. And during the COVID outbreak, after the schools had closed and everything, he says, "I had a dream, and God put his finger on a date. And I saw in the dream schools that were completely empty and filled with cobwebs. I saw businesses closed. This is in the middle of the pandemic. All these things were already happening. And he kept going on and on and on. And I looked for where I could tell whether or not he was a true prophet of God. Give me some specifics here. Don't just tell me what I already see with my own stinking eyes. And then he kept going and he had, oh, I've got another dream. Oh, it's going to be in my next video. So he throws all these videos out. And I followed him. I didn't follow him. I was keeping an eye on him. Because we had a young man in our church that introduced me to this guy. And he was completely freaked out. And there's part of one of his dreams that said by October of 2020, there will be Russian and Chinese soldiers on the ground in America. And I went, aha. All I have to do is wait until November 1st. And he was so concerned that everything was going to hell in a handbasket in America, he sold everything. He bought a greenhouse so he could grow his own food. He bought a water tank to put in his backyard. He was freaked out by this guy. And he was so concerned. He's like, I need to tell everyone in this church about this. They need to see this. So I set up a Friday night. And I said, anyone who wants to come and hear, this young man says he has a word of warning. And he's getting it from another guy, another source. And before we had him read his thing and watch the video, I gave our people the guidelines. And so we had that, and he read verbatim, you know, what he wanted to say, and this is the warning, and this is from God, and this, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I says, we will have another meeting on November 1st. And we did. And we totally debunked the guy. And the young man was there at that meeting as well, and he stood up and he goes, no, this is still going to happen. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And he ended up leaving the church because I would not align with his delusion. I'm sorry. See, the Bible says, don't wish to be a teacher because you are going to be held to a higher standard than those who do not teach. I consider myself a teacher more than a preacher. I love to study. I love to study the ancient Hebrew. I love to study the ancient text. I love to study because it reveals to me certain things that I didn't have before I started doing those studies. God reveals himself in more of an incredible way. And so that's why I do what I do. I'm called to do it, and I share it with those who will listen. And for those who do not listen, there's nothing I can do. This young man was so distraught about the doom, impending doom, that I believe it made him sick. He was downcast. He was downtrodden. He was fearful. And our God did not give us a spirit of fear. If you read and see what's going on in this world, it's the last days are here. I believe we are in the very early birth pains, labor pains, which means labor's coming. Labor is coming, and when before God pours out his wrath, he sends out warnings. He's given us warnings in the scriptures, Old Testament and New. So there will be people saying, this is not going to happen. This has been talked about for generations. We'll pick it back up, and it says, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed, except for a man and his family and a bunch of animals. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verses 7 through 9. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. This is a prophecy. Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It's interesting that Belinda showed me her daily devotional. She goes, oh, look what the scripture is for today's devotional, or scripture of the day. It's what I just read. What a coincidence. I said, that's in my message. I'm using that tomorrow. She goes, you're kidding me. I said, nope. When's the last time you showed me one of your... I have no idea. But all of a sudden, yesterday, she's like, oh, look at my verse for today. And I went, okay, that's confirmation to me that I'm given the right word today. Amen? God is patient. God is long-suffering. God is slow to judge. But verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. When God poured out his wrath the first time on the earth, he used water to do it. It was the very same water that he declared good in Genesis. Now he declares the next time he pours out his wrath on the earth, it will be with fire. When you read this 100 years ago, the people of that time could not comprehend how the entire earth could burn up. Today, we know how it could happen. We know how it could happen. As you read through Revelation, 30 years ago, it was impossible to think that, how is everyone going to see Jesus coming back? He's coming back in the clouds to Mount Olives, or the Mount of Olives. How is everyone going to see that? Piece of cake now. Piece of... Oh, actually, CNN won't cover that. It's interesting that the phrase, the day of the Lord, occurs 1,946 times in the scriptures. 1,946 times. When God repeats something that many times, he wants us to listen. Listen up, people. 1,946 times. 2,800 years ago, Isaiah said in verse 13, chapter 13, verse 6, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Ezekiel said in 30, verse 3, for the day is near, the day of the Lord is near, a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. Joel declares in 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Obadiah 1:15, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your head. I love that. And I pray that when I am in traffic, and you're supposed to merge down to one lane, and Zippy just goes right on through and cuts in. I pray that prayer. I pray that that guy or that girl is standing at the gates of heaven waiting to get in, and everyone else cuts in front of them. Thank you. That's how my warped mind works. Zephaniah 1:14-18 says, "The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. The cry on the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty warrior shouts his battle cry. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring such distress on all people that they will grope about like those who are blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their entrails like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole earth will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live on the earth." That is a terrible, terrible day. And God says 1,946 times that it's coming. It will happen. Jesus had this to say about the last days. Matthew 24:36-44. "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." I always said I would never teach out of Revelation. Guess what? God said, "Teach out of Revelation." And as we do this, I would encourage you to go home and read Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel so that you'll have a greater understanding. I'm not saying that I'm going to go in through the entire book, but we are going to start next week. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. I'm going to read Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words in this prophecy." I don't think I ever noticed that before. The one who reads the word aloud of this prophecy, "and blessed are those who hear it and take heart what is written in it, because the time is near." God uses an angel to show John the revelation of Jesus Christ. John testifies to everything he saw and backs it up by the word of God and the testimony of Jesus himself. Why? As a warning to those who would pay attention that the time is near, the day of the Lord. I truly believe the time is near. I believe God put this on my heart for a reason at this time. It's not a warm fuzzy. But what's awesome is at the end of Revelation, we win. We win. Only because of God. It always gets darker right before the dawn. It's getting darker. It's getting darker, and it's getting darker. And if God decides not to judge America, I believe he owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. There is a judgment coming. And it ain't pretty. It ain't warm and fuzzy. But God says, for those who will repent and be obedient, no matter what goes on in the culture around them, I will keep them for myself. We have the hope, the blessed assurance, that for those of us who have accepted Jesus' payment of blood on the cross to take away our sins, we have the promise and the prophecy that we will be with him in paradise forever. All the other prophecies that have come true, God is batting 1,000. All the ones that are to be fulfilled, I'm thinking he's going to be batting 1,000. But there is an enemy out there who wants nothing more than to steal God's most precious creation. And it's us. He knows where he's going. He knows his destiny. And he wants to drag as many people with him that he possibly can. It is my job as a pastor to sound the alarm. Actually, the message that God gave me started with this. The church in Laodicea is alive and well in America. Go home and look up what God had to say about the church in Laodicea. But he said, that church is alive and well in America. We are not going to be the church of Laodicea. Not going to happen. Not on my watch. God will bring into this fold, into this fellowship, whom he wants, and he will take out whomever he wants. I am simply a shepherd. It is not my job to fight over the sheep. It is my job to feed the sheep. For I serve a greater shepherd. And he says, my sheep, they know my voice. What I'm speaking today is his words, not mine. I am simply delivering it. I am simply reminding us, we need to remember when Jesus was with his disciples on the last night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told them, watch and pray. He did not tell them what to watch for. He just simply says, be alert and be in prayer. My encouragement to you is wake up, be alert, and be in prayer. Because I believe we are getting near to the end. Amen? Please stand.
Probably not a topic we like to talk about much. But you know, it is scriptural. We do need to know these things. And we shouldn't be fearful. As Pastor Jim said, God does not give us the spirit of timidity. So, as I'm taking my notes, as I always do, and I'm not trying to shame you that don't, but I've never been able to remember a message. I swear every church has a magnetic field around the door. So when we walk out, it's a memory erase. Because I've done a little research and I found that talking to people in the parking lot after service, most of them can't even remember the title. So I guess I am shaming you a little bit. You know, I take notes, and as I'm taking notes of Pastor Jim's message, or I should actually say God's message, I couldn't help but kind of grin a little bit because there was so much in Pastor Jim's message that was referring to the message that I have just recently given. And so as I'm thinking about this stuff, then he tells me, hey, close for me. So I feel compelled to let you know that we do not have a community sermon group. Nobody knows that gives a message here at New Hope what anyone in the congregation, other than maybe their spouse, doesn't know what the message is about. We don't compile our thoughts. We don't bounce things off of one another other than in just basic biblical understanding. But as far as messages go, they come. They come from the heart, and they come by the Spirit. So today's message, linked with the ones we've been hearing recently, they should be an encouragement, because also in Scripture it says, in the end days, the harvest will be white and the workers will be few. So it's an encouragement, it's a call to remember why we are here, why we meet on Sundays, why we call God our Father and Jesus our Lord. It's because there's work to be done, and the day is coming. And as we see the day coming, all the more we should be paying attention to these things. For there is work to be done, and there is no fear in doing the work of God. None. And just, I always like throwing out there, because I'm that guy. Since Jesus came, we've been in the end of days. Okay? There's no coming back from that. We've been heading down, so we're not fearful about the end. What we are, we're encouraged about what we're going to gain, which is the everlasting reward. Amen? That's where our eyes, that's where our thoughts are. And it's about being in spirit and in truth, walking the life that Jesus had led for us and the Father God has called us to be. Followers of Christ, doers of the good work. Amen? So let's be encouraged today. Let's be excited today. Let's draw closer today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message today. We pray that it weighs on our hearts and we would not so quickly forget, Lord, but that it would produce fruit in the upcoming weeks, in the upcoming months, in the upcoming years, Lord, until your return. Help us, Lord, be fruitful and bring glory to you through your Son. Help us live by your Spirit. Give us that attention, Lord God, that extra frequency that we need, Lord, to pick up your Spirit's voice. We pray these things, and we pray a blessing of those who are here, every family represented in this place, and those that couldn't make it. We pray your hand upon them as well, Lord God. Keep us now, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You are dismissed.